Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection.
You've returned, and I'm grateful. Thank you for being here and for carving out time for this conversation, for listening, not just with your ears, but with your heart. This is Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. I'm Alexis Hughes, and I'm a death doula. This podcast isn't for the faint of heart. It's for the curious, the brave, the ones who are willing to sit in the quiet places, the ones who are ready to turn towards the thing we have been taught to fear the most, death. In today's episode, we're talking about death is no thief. Why? Maybe you're back because something about our latest conversation stayed with you, or maybe this title, Death is No Thief, challenged something you've always believed. The idea that death is anything but cruel feels strange, maybe even offensive when you've lost someone you love. But today I want to invite you into a different perspective, one that doesn't cast death as the villain who comes in the night snatching people away too soon. We've been taught through culture, religion, and even media that death is something that sneaks in and steals what we love and leaves only sorrow. We call it cruel, sudden. We call it a thief that comes too soon, that rips things away, that it takes from us. We hear it all the time, right? In the way people talk about death, and what happens is she was stolen from us. He was taken too young. They were gone in an instant, gone too soon. We've been taught throughout culture, religion, even media, that death is something that sneaks in and steals what we love and leaves only sorrow behind. But what if we've been getting it wrong? What if death isn't here to take from us, but to walk with us? Instead, imagine death like an old companion, a witness. I've always said to die seen is to die sovereign. A presence that has walked beside us all along. And so what if death is not the villain, but the final guide? The quiet hand that reaches for us, not to pull us away from life, but to walk with us across the bridge into something else. What if death is an old friend, one who never truly leaves your side? That's what I want to explore with you today. Today, we'll talk about what it means to meet death not with fear or resistance, but with recognition. So take a breath. Let's begin. So, we live in a death-avoidant culture. We grow up with the stories that teach us to fear death. From childhood, we're introduced to death as the enemy. We hide it, we sanitize it, we delay talking about it until it arrives, and then we're left shocked, reeling, and unprepared. Think about the media that we consume. Death is often faceless, menacing, uninvited, a tall, dark shadow in a dark room, a reaper, a ghost, a ghoul. And so we internalize this idea that death is something to be feared or even hated. Think about the cartoons we watched as kids. The Grim Reaper is always this like hulking hooded figure with a skull's face and hands and a scythe. The Grim Reaper, a dark figure, no face, scythe, scary, boo. It comes suddenly. It takes what we love. And even in those children's cartoons, death is sneaky. It's always in the shadows, sneaking behind the subject of what we're watching. And so We call it names. Thief, traitor, monster. Books speak of death like a thief in the night. Movies kill off characters suddenly, cruelly, for the drama of it all. But what if that's not right? We don't realize how deeply this shapes us. We start to believe that death is always an ambush, that we never learn to make peace with it. What if death doesn't come to steal, but it just comes? What if death doesn't arrive to tear us away from our life, but to walk with us across the threshold from one form, one place, one time, to the other? So let me ask you something. Have you ever thought about death as a relationship, not a moment? What if death is with you, not just in your final breath, but your whole life, waiting, not rushing, not hunting, just waiting? And what if death wasn't a villain? What if death isn't the ultimate baddie of your story, waiting at the end of it, tapping his watch? What if death is a part of the story and not the antagonist? What if death is doing exactly what it was always meant to do? Death isn't what's impatient. We are. We're the ones who put off the will, the conversation, the goodbye, the putting off the things we need to do. And then we blame death when it jumps us before we complete those things, like it's death's fault. When death finally arrives, we say, well, it came out of nowhere. But death doesn't come out of nowhere. It's always been there. We just don't like to look. I once sat with a man named Harold, who was in the final stages of ALS. His body had all but given up, and his mind, so real sharp. Sharp enough to know exactly what was coming. One day, I helped adjust his blanket, and we were chatting a little bit, and he looked at me, and he goes, I've been thinking a lot about death. Not in a scared way. I think it's already here. I just, you know, kept doing what I was doing, and I asked him what he meant. And he said, I don't think death arrives at the end. I think it just sits quietly in the room. I think it's been here for weeks, just waiting. Not rushing, just waiting for me to be ready. Harold didn't see death as a thief. He wasn't being stalked. He saw death as a companion, someone patient, something respectful. And when his final moment came, it was peaceful, as if someone and something had just shifted, stepping from one room into the next. Which reminds me of another man who kind of become a theme here. And there is no right answer about what happens at death or anything like that, but I hear doorway a lot. And I sat vigil with a man in his 90s. His name was Charles. Quiet, stoic, super private. He didn't really like talk much during his illness. But the night before he died, he turned to me and he kind of pointed. He said, he's at the door. I looked and there was nobody there. I didn't know if he meant, you know, of a hospice team or someone in the family. So I turned and then, but he's there. And so I asked him what he meant. He smiled and he said, death. He's been here before, but now he's ready. I'm ready. I'm not scared. And he looked away like he could see him, like making eye contact. And he said, he's waiting until I'm ready. And he passed peacefully the next morning. He just didn't wake up. And I don't know what Charles saw, but I know this. He didn't feel robbed or stalked. He felt met. He didn't feel like he was being taken. He was being waited for patiently, and he left when he was ready. So where do we get this idea from? That death takes what isn't death's to take. It's understandable. When someone we love dies, especially suddenly, especially young, we feel robbed. And that pain is real. I would never take that away from you. That grief is valid. But death doesn't cause our suffering. What causes that is how much we love. And I've talked about this before. And grief, as they say, is just love with nowhere to go. When we say death comes too soon, and why do we paint death as a thief? Because we don't want to believe we had time and didn't use it. It's easier to blame death for being early than to ask, did I do everything I could while they were here? It's easier to call death unfair than to admit I wasn't ready to say goodbye. But here's the truth that breaks our hearts wide open. You're never going to be ready, and death didn't come early. You just regret not saying or doing the things that you needed to say and do. That is why we feel robbed when death takes someone from us. You weren't done. According to a 2022 study, only 37% of Americans have written down their end-of-life wishes, and fewer than half have been discussed with their family. Death always comes on time. It's us who aren't ready. Not because we haven't had the conversations, not ready because we haven't made peace with our own impermanence, not ready because we believed we had more time. I once worked with a woman named Emma who had been ill for a long time. She was sharp, funny, completely unafraid of dying. One morning, her daughter told me, I feel like death is in the room. Emma heard her and smiled. She said, oh, honey, it's been here all week. She said, it's just waiting for me to say I'm ready to tell you it's okay. And she did. She looked at her daughter and she said, I'm totally fine with it if you are. The daughter said, okay, Mom, if you're good, I'm good. That night, Emma passed away peacefully, quietly, with her daughter's hand in hers. Death didn't take her. She walked towards death, like meeting a friend who had waited patiently. We don't run towards death, but we can walk our life to death. Friend Ruth was 99. She outlived two husbands and all of her siblings, had several friends. She told me once, I don't fear death because I've been close to him my whole life. Every time I lost someone, I met a part of death. And now I think death remembers me. She died with her daughter reading to her. In her final words, she looked up and she said, oh, it's you. And then she smiled and went silent forever. You're listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything Between on Transformation Talk Radio. If this episode is speaking to you, I invite you to visit my website, withoutfeardoula.com. You'll find grief support, advanced care planning, writing prompts, and more ways to prepare for death, not just practically, but emotionally and spiritually. If you're ready to start your own conversation or learn to do the sacred work, I can help. That's withoutfeardoula.com. Let's walk through this together. Stop waiting for the right time to live and live now. We'll see you after the break.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show. Are you ready to unlock your full leadership potential? Well, look no further. Our expert coaches will guide you to navigate complex challenges, enhance your decision-making, and inspire your team to reach new heights. Invest in your growth. Invest in your success. Elevate your leadership skills with Antero Solutions today. Visit our website, anterosolutions.com, or call 202-924-1781 to schedule your consultation.
If you're a mature adult over 50 seeking meaningful work or an employer searching for skilled, experienced staff, the Seniors Job Bank is here for you. Our nonprofit organization has connected job seekers with diverse opportunities from businesses and municipalities to homeowners and individuals. Interested in staying active and engaged through volunteer roles? We've got that too. Discover how the Seniors Job Bank can benefit you at seniorsjobbankct.org.
Tune in to the Goddess Emergence Show the first and third Wednesday of each month at 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio with Dr. Bree Gibbs, a spiritual leader, healer, and transmedium who, alongside of Goddess Bell, the creator, and other masters, will share information never before released on the planet. Embark on a spiritual pathway to address your physical health, emotional frequency, mental clarity, and spiritual well-being, all in perfect harmony. Visit drbreegibbs.com.
Without Fear is a Chattanooga-based death doula practice helping individuals and families navigate end-of-life transitions with grace, courage, and compassion. Death Doula Alexis provides emotional support, practical guidance, and space to explore life's deepest questions. Through grief support, workshops, and education, Without Fear is breaking the taboo around death and empowering people to embrace mortality as part of living fully. Visit withoutfeardoula.com to learn more and find a safe space for all things life, death, and the in-between. I'm Alexis of Without Fear, and you're listening to Life, Death, and Everything in Between. In this episode, we are talking about the personification of death in our lives, our cultures, and our conversations that shape how we feel about dying. So I think if we stop casting death as the enemy, we can begin to really build a different relationship with it. Not one of terror, but curiosity, even gratitude. Because death shows us what matters. It teaches us how precious our days are. It wakes us up to life. We talk about death like death is against us, but death is of us. The moment you are born, you begin to die. You begin that inevitable slow walk to death. And sometimes death just meets you a little closer than we would have liked. Trees shed their leaves. It's the natural cycle of everything. Animals die, return to the earth, the sun sets, the tide goes out. Nothing gold can stay. In many cultures, death is not a monster, but a guide. In ancient Greek mythology, it was Hermes, not Hades, who escorted souls to the underworld. In some traditions, death is a bridge, not a wall, a sacred escort, a threshold guardian. In many cultures and spiritual tradition, death isn't hidden at all. In Tibetan Buddhism, death is not seen as an ending, it's a transition, and it is meditated on openly. In ancient Greek mythology, souls were escorted to the afterlife. They weren't kidnapped. And in the Christian tradition, there's the image of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, not alone, but accompanied. We were never meant to face death without support in this realm or the next. In some Mexican and Central American traditions, death is celebrated and honored, like in Dia de los Muertos. In ancient Greek, there was Charon, the ferryman, not a thief, but a guide and a companion. When I talk to people at the end of their lives, I often ask them if they feel alone. And many of them say, no, there is something here. Often they describe that something not as frightening, but as comforting. I once sat with a man, let's call him Adam, who was approaching his final days with quiet reflection. His family had gathered, hospice was in place, he was surrounded by the people that loved him. Everything all squared, bow at the top. And then he told me, I used to think death would sneak in and blow out the candle when I wasn't looking. But now I realize that death is the one who's been keeping the flame from flickering out soon. Death isn't the wind, it's the hand cupping around the light. And that stayed with me for years. What if death isn't the wind that snuffs our flame, but the one who waits until we're ready and then gently lets it go out? Like a hand reaching out in the dark, or an old friend arriving just at the right time. Death isn't a stranger. Death is familiar, because death is a part of the design. We call death a primordial fear, because it is the one thing that our brains and our spirit and our living being struggle against our whole life. Your brain's entire job is to keep you alive. So you fight against death with everything. But death was already on board the minute you came into this world. That's why it is familiar. It's not a boogeyman over your shoulder waiting to jump out and go, wooga booga booga. Time to go with me. Come on, let's go. Death is part of the design. My friend Harold was in his late 70s. His illness had just progressed and he knew the end was near. One night, I was helping him adjust his pillows and everything, get him settled in. He looked towards the window and he said, "It's out there." And of course I looked, it's always doors and windows. And he said, "It's been out there a long time. I used to be scared, but I'm not anymore." And I asked him what he meant. And he said, "Well, death isn't coming for me. It's waiting for me to say I'm ready. It's patient and wants me to walk when I'm ready." And he did. 2 days later, he finalized his affairs, told all his kids he loved them, got everything ready, and he died. But that image that death had been waiting for permission still gives me chills. And we say death is cruel when it comes for someone who is young. We say it's unfair when it comes for someone who is finally happy. But here's the thing. Death does not care about our schedule. Death doesn't care about your Google Calendar that day. Death isn't governed by our sense of fairness or timeliness, and yet it always comes with precision. Not a minute too soon, not a second too late. It doesn't matter how many red lights you run, if the person in that hospital is going to die at their allotted time, and you're not supposed to be there, you're not going to make it. And that's okay. Not a minute too soon, and not a second too late. The tragedy isn't that death comes. The tragedy is that we haven't made peace with that truth. According to a 2021 Pew study, 70-some-odd% of Americans have not made their wishes known. That means most people die without clearly telling their loved ones what they want. And we think death is unfair. But what is unfair is how little we talk about it. What is unfair is leaving your affairs and probate and the struggle and your ultimate interment decisions to a family you didn't prepare. People leave behind grieving families who don't know where the will is, partners who don't know if their person wanted to be cremated or buried, children forced to guess what their parents would have wanted. It's not death that creates this chaos. It's the silence we keep around death. That we live like we have unlimited time. Death isn't stealing anything. We aren't talking about it. We leave the words unsaid. We postpone joy. We delay healing. If you knew death was sitting in the next room, not lurking, but waiting for you to be ready, what would you do differently today? So why does this matter? Because the story we tell about death shapes the way we live. If we think death is the enemy, we spend our lives in fear. We avoid grief. We'll avoid conversations. We'll live half lives. But what if we see death as a guide, as a teacher, as a closing chapter of a beautiful book? Well, then we live more intentionally. What if you stop trying to avoid death and you instead
decided to meet it well. I once supported a woman named Hannah, and in her final weeks, she had lived through an incredible loss. Parents, a spouse, even all of her children had preceded her into death. When I asked her how she felt about death coming for her, she smiled softly and she said, "Honey, death doesn't come for me. Death comes with me. I am going to death. It waits to take me to them." I asked her what she meant, and she said, "Death has been with me since the day I was born. Quiet, patient, never cruel. When I lost my son, death sat with me in the nursery. When I buried my husband, death walked behind me with an umbrella. And now, death is going to walk me home to be with them now." And that has never left me. That image, her words, is just branded in my brain. And there's the old adage that death is going to come get me himself, otherwise I'm not going. And what if you lived so fully that death would be sad to have to come and retrieve you for the next adventure beyond this one? What if you were such a baddie that death was like, "Oh man," when your time came up? So I want you to try something for me. I'm going to give you some homework. Let's stop imagining death as a thief. Instead, imagine death as a gentle hand on your shoulder, a silent guest at every dinner table, a loyal companion who promises you're not going to walk into the unknown alone. Death is just kind of that parent standing at a production, encouraging you to, like, just go. Let death be the force that invites you to live more fully, love more fully, forgive more quickly, and let go more gently. When we make peace with this truth, something changes. We stop avoiding. We start living. We say what needs to be said. We love more freely. We forgive faster. And when our time comes, we don't have to go out swinging. You don't have to fear death. Death isn't here to punish you. It's here to walk you home. And when the time comes, you won't go alone. You will be met. You will be known. You will be loved. Death isn't the thief. Death is the one who catches you when you step through the doorway and guides you to the next thing. If this episode started something in you, please subscribe, share, and leave a review. If you're feeling called to be with others in their dying or simply want to understand death more deeply, I want to invite you to take the next step. My end-of-life doula course, in partnership with Cleveland State College, is open for registration right now. This is a powerful, immersive learning experience designed to equip you with the tools, mindset, and presence to sit with others at the threshold. Whether you want to do this professionally or you're walking through death with someone you love, this course is for you. Registration closes May 6th. Seats are limited, and you can find all the details at withoutfeardoula.com. Until next time, live well, love deeply, and let's talk about death without fear. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.